Blog Talk Radio.
For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. 16 where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. And now I would like to tell you what's a Thanksgiving prayer. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they have, for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people may thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, give me the wisdom to be a good listener. Help me listen carefully to my family, to my friends, and most importantly, to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Praise be to God. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
I can't complain. No, I can't complain. Mama's taking it easy. Papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet. Hoping and praying is trying to live happy and free. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. And I'm gonna give the Lord his day and everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees. Sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world. Make a difference. everything will be okay. In the presence of His grace. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. I'm gonna give the Lord His day, and everything will be okay. In the presence of His grace. In the presence of His grace. In the presence of His grace. Oh, in the presence of His grace. Yeah, in the presence of His grace.
Amen. Dear Lord, Your love is eternal and Your laws are everlasting. When I obey Your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite You to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in You, Father. I will sense Your presence. I will accept Your love. I will trust Your will. And I will praise You for the Savior of my life. In Your Son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Escapes my mind, the grace You've shown towards me. I just can't believe how You never turned away when I pushed You far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me. I still can't believe how You never let me go. How You never lost Your hope. You keep proving Your love to me. In spite of me, oh, I know I'm not worthy.
time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Freedom in Forgiveness. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew 6 and 14, and it says, if you forgave others for their transgression, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen. Praise be to God. Is there someone you need to forgive today? If you are having trouble, remember the benefits forgiveness gives you. First, pardoning the other person is the only way to overcome the negative feelings that are keeping you captive. You give God the opportunity to replace your resentment with hurt, with concern, pity, or compassion. Second, the Lord can help you accept the person who wounded you without feeling the need to extract retribution. He gives you understanding into why they act as they did, and appreciation for their situation and the underlying issues that caused their behavior. He helps you take them as they are, just as Jesus does for you. Third, resentment can cause us to be self-centered. Focus on your wounds rather than on loving others. Through forgiveness, God can refocus us to minister to and care for others. Forgiveness is a process that can be painful. However, you cannot afford to hold on to an unforgiving spirit. You must forgive others and find out what it means to be really free. If you preserve and keep your eyes on the one who forgave you, it will be a liberating force like nothing else you have ever experienced. So forgive. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, I choose to forgive today as you have forgiven me. Increase my love and understanding for the ones who have hurt me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I
needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him. Pleaded with the Lord to heal. Down on my knees, I called on him. All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing. The God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Keep pleading, Lord. We'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call on him. And hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying,
darkness.
Amen. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, make me a woman of constant prayer. Your holy word commands me to pray without ceasing in all things great and small, at all times, whether happy or sad. Let me seek your wisdom and your strength in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I live for you. I live for you. I come to worship you. My heart, my soul, I bring to worship
you. Amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. In the meantime, I will play another selection. I hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. To God be the glory.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Trust in Jesus.
I trust.
Oh, yes, I have.
I trust.
Oh,
burden.
Praise be to God. Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to me. Let me use it. When I stray from your holy word, Lord, I suffer. But when I place your word at the very center of my life, I am blessed. Make me a faithful student of your word so that I might be a faithful servant in your world. This day, and every day, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Yes, it's all about.
So Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Yeah. a waste of life. Can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, disappoint answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word, pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And we are going to read chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 4. Amen. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 4. Praise be to God. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. To God be the glory. And it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, pleading aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and cursed jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Verse 7. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Amen. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intention will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Praise be to God. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. The further and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline, excuse me, and instructions that comes from the Lord. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How do Christians walk? We walk in love as Christ taught us to walk. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. This is a high calling, but it is nevertheless exactly what the Lord expects of his people. Amen? So when we fail, he is willing to work with us. He knows how to forgive. But make no mistake about it. God wants us to grow continually in the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. This may sound like an admonition for personal Christian living alone. But it also precedes a lengthy passage on family relationship, as we read in Ephesians 5, 21 through 6, 4. Therefore, we should apply these truths to the family as well as to our personal lives. 2 weeks ago, we identified the friends of the family, but we should be aware of enemies of the family as well. While it is true that certain television shows and movies and the influence of non-Christian minds can be detrimental to the health of the family, these are not our primary enemies. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world if we are to have any impact on it. So you can't hide from the world. You must know what's going on, but stay prayed up. Amen? The real enemies of the family are those that arise out of our own disobedience to the word of God. We can name these enemies by looking carefully at our scripture passage. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our families. We want them to be healthy. We want them to bring joy to our lives, strength to our church, and glory to you. We know that sometimes we fail to obey you and thereby open our family to evil influence and dangerous temptations. We know there are enemies of the family that can destroy the vitality of our homes. We ask you to protect our families from evil and to place a wall of protection around us. And may we be willing to live within your will and purpose for our homes. The offerings we give now are the shared expression of our love and obedience to you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Amen. Where it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So the text is saying, by referring to these days as evil, Paul was communicating his sense of urgency because of evil's pervasiveness. We need the same sense of urgency because our days are also difficult. We must keep our standards high, act wisely, and do good wherever we can. Amen. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is Enemies of the Family. Tonight, my message is divided into five paragraphs. In Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Praise God. Okay. 3 to 12 tells us enemy is permissiveness. Now, the first enemy that will destroy a family is the permissive attitude that is popularly expressed as anything goes. Sexual immorality, perversity, and coarse talk ought to be foreign to the people of God. When respect for the sexuality of the family is lost and no one sets standard for family attitudes towards sex, the bond of trust that must hold families together becomes frayed and soon breaks. Children need to be taught the discipline that comes from obedience to God. We don't have to do all the things we want to do. We can say no, so that at the right time and in the right way, we can say yes. Amen? Praise God. Young people, remember that the decisions you make now in your dating relationships will determine to a great degree the authority you will have as a parent to counsel your own children as to how they ought to treat their sexuality. Parental immorality always undermines parental authority. Enemy number two is drunkenness. Permissive was enemy number one. Enemy number two is drunkenness in Ephesians 5 and 18, where it says, 5 and 18, Paul contrasts getting drunk with wine, which produces a temporary high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces lasting joy. Getting drunk with wine is associated with the old way of life and its selfish desires. In Christ, we have a better joy, higher and longer lasting, to cure our depression, monotony, or tension. We should not be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but with how much of us the Holy Spirit has. Submit yourself daily to his leading and draw constantly on his power. Amen. Praise be to God. So that's enemy number two, is drunkenness. This warning includes not only wine, but all alcohol and drugs that alter the mental and emotional state and make us vulnerable to temptation and evil. A family is severely frustrated when one of its members become a different person in the aftermath of drug abuse. Alcohol is the worst drug problem in our world. Adults prefer to talk about the drug problems of the young people because they don't want to deal with the drug problem they have installed in their own home bars. Pastors tend to be more vocal in their opposition to alcohol than most professionals because they so often counsel families that have been destroyed by the effects of alcohol. As strong as peer pressure may be in the lives of young people, parents can demonstrate a consistent Christian lifestyle along with fair and loving discipline to help protect their families from this enemy. Praise be to God. Enemy number three is selfishness. Ephesians 5, 21 through 22, verse 25 and verses 28 through 29. Sermons on this text meet with one great difficulty. The men hear the part about how the wife should respect them and follow their leadership. The women hear the part about how their husbands should love them as Christ loved the church. The reason we hear the message in this way is selfishness. We first think of ourselves and later think of the other. We must hear both of Paul's admonition At the same time, in verse 21, we have the idea, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission in a marriage sound to be mutual. 1 Corinthians 7 and 4 is a commentary on this very point. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yield it to his wife. In a Christian home, the wife and children should be willing to allow the husband and father to provide leadership. He needs the respect of his family, not ridicule, if he is to be a successful leader of the family. Good leaders are good listeners. They are not tyrannical. They delegate authority and respect the decisions that others make. They are willing to provide leadership and accept the responsibility of articulating the vision for the family. Christian husbands are willing to let God make them into good leaders. Christian wives rejoice in helping God develop leadership in their husbands. In a Christian home, the husband should love his wife and thoughtful attention. He should love his wife with the kind of devotion and courage that marked Jesus' love for the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her on the cross. No husband has begun to love his wife as God calls him to if he is more concerned about his own welfare, self-esteem, and future than he is about his wife's welfare, self-esteem, and future. Jesus died to save his church. A husband must be willing to die for his wife, to give himself away for her well-being and growth. A wife has a right to be loved by her husband nobly, faithfully, and always. A daily prayer of gratitude to God for the wife he has given you will strengthen your love for your wife. Paul's admonition does not reserve respect for the husband nor love for the wife. Marriage is a blending of lives, and both husband and wife are to be respected and loved. Selfishness is the enemy. Thinking of one another and doing loving things for one another are always to overcome this enemy. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Enemy number four is carelessness. Ephesians 6 and 4, where we read in the scripture, 6 and 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline instructions that comes from the Lord. Amen. Fathers are advised not to provoke their children to anger. This means, obviously, that discipline must be fair and just. but it also means that fathers must not be careless of their children. No father is so poor that he cannot pay attention to his child. Children experience deep anger when they realize that one or both of their parents are not really interested in them. A man once said to his pastor, "My father was an excellent carpenter, but he never showed me how to do one thing. He could have helped me so much, but he never noticed me." Behind that complaint, the pastor was able to discern a lent anger that had blocked the son's emotional and spiritual growth for years. Children know they have a right to be considered. They feel deep anger, which is usually repressed. When parents don't listen or don't set boundaries, show interest, or expect excellence, we must not be careless with our children, not only for their sakes, but also for our own. One way or another, fathers have to pay attention to their children. Ideally, fathers will be there to offer support to their children at the time in their lives when it can bring joy and growth. Praise be to God. If support comes too late to help, all that is left to do is hurt. Praise God. Enemy number 5, Ephesians 6 and 4. Enemy number 5 is ignorance of the Lord. The greatest strength in any home is the knowledge of the Lord. The Jewish fathers were given the high task of instructing their children about the Lord and his deliverance of their people from bondage in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Paul exhorts parents that children must be brought up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4 in the NIV. If they are not taught, they are ignorant. It is not because children are dumb or stubborn that they don't know God's way. It is because their parents have not taught them. It is not the school's fault nor the church's fault if children are spiritually illiterate. Spiritual knowledge is the responsibility of the parents. We cannot train our children in godly matters if we are not experienced, if we are not on speaking terms with God. We will not be able to teach our children what they need to know. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So you see, because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, therefore, be ye followers of God, imitators of God, resembled him, especially in his love and parting goodness, as becomes those beloved by their heavenly Father. In Christ's sacrifice, his love triumphs, and we are considered it fully. Filthiness, lust must be rooted out. These sins must be dreaded and detested. Here are not only cautions against gross acts of sin, but against what some may make light of. But these things are so far from being profitable that they pollute and poison the hearers. Our cheerfulness should show itself as becomes Christians in what may tend to God's glory. A covetous man makes a god of his money and places in his worldly goods the hope, confidence, and delight which should be in God only. Those who let themselves go, either in the lust of the flesh or the love of the world, belong not to the kingdom of grace, nor shall they come to the kingdom of glory. When the vilest transgressions repent and believe the gospel, they become children of obedience, from whom God's wrath is turned away. Dare we make light of that which brings down the wrath of God. Sinners, like men in the dark, are going, they know not where, and doing they know not what. But the grace of God wrought a mighty change in the souls of many. Walk as children of light, as having knowledge and holiness. These works of darkness are unfruitful, whatever profit they may boast, for they end in the destruction of the impenitent sinner. There are many ways of abetting or taking part in the sins of others, by condemnation, counsel, consent, or concealment. And if we share with others in their sins, we must expect to share in their plagues. If we do not reprove the sins of others, we have fellowship with them. A good man will be ashamed to speak of what many wicked men are not ashamed to do. We must have not only a sign and a knowledge that sin is sin, and in some measure shameful. See it as a breach of God's holy law. After the example of prophets and apostles, we should call on those asleep and dead in sin to awake and rise, that Christ may give them light. Another remedy against sin is care or caution, it being impossible otherwise to maintain purity of heart. Life, time is a talent given us by God, and it is misspent and lost when not employed according to his design. If we have lost our time here for, we must double our diligence for the future of that time which thousands on a dying bed would gladly redeem at the price of the whole world. How little do men think, and to what troubles they daily sacrifice it. People are very apt to complain of bad times. It were well if that stirred them more to redeem time. Be not unwise, ignorance of our duty, and neglect of our souls show the greatest folly. Drunkenness is a sin that never goes alone. but carries men into other evils. It is a sin very provoking to God. The drunkard holds out his family and to the world the sad spectacle of a sinner hardened beyond what is common and hasting to prediction. When afflicted or weary, let us not see to raise our spirits by strong drink, which is hateful and hurtful and only ends in making sorrow more felt. By fervent prayer, let us seek to be filled with the Spirit and to avoid whatever may grieve our gracious comfort. All God's people have reason to sing for joy, though we are not always singing. We should be always giving thanks. We should never want this position for this duty, as we never want matter for it. Hallelujah. Through the whole course of our lives, always, even in trials and affliction, and for all things, being sanctified of their loving intent and good tendency. God keeps believers from sinning against him and engages them to submit one to another in all he has commanded to promote his glory and to fulfill their duties to each other. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as I bring this message to a close this evening, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to say that my brothers and sisters, beware of the enemies that seek to destroy your family. Ask God to help you defend against permissiveness, drunkenness, selfishness, carelessness, and ignorance. If you must confess that you do not know the Lord well enough to teach your children, then he invites you to start to walk with him in faith, that you may indeed be wise and successful in making the most of the time you have with your family. Ephesians 5 and 16. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name. I pray and believe that it is already done. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And let the power of God manifest a breakthrough in your life, for Jesus is Lord. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise God. Good night, everyone. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We love you, and God loves you too. Good night. Shalom.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.